Boy, does that tie to my sermon. Good. Children, you can go to junior church this time. You should have a handout there this morning. Last week was Father's Day, and we did a Father's Day message, and I said we would be done at 11:30, and we were. I know we had an invitation song afterwards, but it was Father's Day, and I was going out to eat, and I wanted to make sure that I did better than I did to mothers on Mother's Day. What's that? It all depends if he gets done fast enough. No, seriously, this is just an important message, I believe. I said last week that, and I believe this with all my heart, that God looks at Father's Day and father's roles in the family as just as important as mother's roles in the family. There's obviously more attention to Mother's Day. Can you men say a hearty amen? And ladies, can you say an amen? Because I know you deserve that. But Father's Day is a very important day to God in the Bible. And so we just have three words that deal with what I believe the role of a father. The first one we covered last week, that a dad needs to lean and trust completely on the Lord. That, Dad, it's our role to be the rock. It's our role, men, as fathers and leaders of our homes, that we are the rocks that stabilize our families and lead our families. God made it very clear that the husband is the head of his wife. He is the leader of his wife. He is to be the leader of his wife, spiritually, especially. And so I need that PowerPoint pulled up. I'm sorry. We don't have our PowerPoint projector person this week is with the choir. Okay. But the man, and I'm talking to men in general because it's not just husbands. I think men in general are to be strong leaders. He leans on the Lord, though. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, of course, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this is to the ladies, too. And lean not to your own understanding, your own way of thinking, your human thinking. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But I think that a wife and children need to have a man that leans on God for his all. Now, there's four things there, and I'm not going to teach them like I did last week, but he leans on God for salvation. And if there's anybody here this morning who is not leaning completely, as I said last week, free-falling on Jesus Christ as your salvation, that he died on the cross for your sins, for all of your sins. He took all of our sins in his own body on the tree, and he died for our sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if you've never accepted Christ, you need that, make that decision. I look around, I see all familiar faces this morning, but, and then for wisdom, men, we need to be men of wisdom to lead our families. For strength in times of emotional fear, weakness, we need to lead our families. By the way, that could come to pass in the future. We don't know what the future is going to bring in this nation as far as persecution. But we need to be, as men, fixed on our relationship with God. Did you ever think about the early church? Remember the early church? The one that was killed? The people were killed? Families were killed? Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and even children? will we emotionally be strong and lead our families, even if it means that we face death? We need men and fathers who lean on the Lord completely. And that's what that song Rick just sang. I lean. I won't trust in this world. I will lean on the Lord. And I will trust in His righteousness. And I'll trust in His supply for all my needs. Number two, a strong man has learned to lead. And that's your second point there in your first blank. A strong man leads his wife and children. Above everything else, let's look at Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and I like this text because it speaks not only of Joshua, but the context in which he is speaking. The context in which he is speaking, and he is publicly addressing the people of Israel. And verse 14, Joshua is speaking to the congregation of the people. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods. What's he talking about there? Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. He's talking about them that secretly they had idols at home. He knew that there were still some of these people that he was speaking to that worshiped idols. And yet they worshiped the Lord. They were worshiping an idol, and they were worshiping the Lord. And Joshua knew that, and he's going to speak to that matter right now. He says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. You remember back when you were not saved and you worshiped the gods of this world? You worshiped the gods of the bottle and alcohol, and you worshiped the god of drugs. You worshiped the god of immorality, pornography. You worshiped the gods of this world. He says, put away these gods from your life. And he's telling the people they also worshiped them when they were in Egypt. And then he says this, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord, he tells the people. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil, or that word evil, the Hebrew means like a waste of time. If it seems like a waste of time for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, the people around them in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, he's saying here that I'm speaking for my house. As a man, as a father, as a leader of my wife and children, I am speaking for my family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to serve the gods that we picked up in Egypt. We're not going to serve the gods that we used to worship. We're going to serve the Lord and Him only. Now, I think that in all aspects of his leadership, he was determined that he would be a model. He was a model determined for himself. He was determined that he was going to serve the Lord. He had made that determination. And he had determined it not only for himself, but for his family. Is that the way you are, Dad? Is that the way you are, men? Are you determined? Have you made that determination that you are going to serve the Lord and Him only? Or are you going to dabble with other gods behind the scenes? Above anything else, Joshua was God-focused. And this is a very important phrase. Joshua was God-focused. Let me ask you, Dad, are you God-focused? Are you focused on what God wants for your family? And you're determined that you will lead your family what God wants. Not what you want, not what the rest of the people do. By the way, that's an important statement right there. Not what the rest of the people will do. I have determined that as for me, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And then Joshua tells them, you guys can't serve the Lord. Why couldn't they? Oh, no, we want to serve the Lord too. He says, you can't serve the Lord because you have idols that you're still dealing with. And so above everything else, Joshua was God-focused. And by the way, this is a very important sentence too, reward. I believe God will reward the family that makes that determination. Now, it's never going to be easy. We'll look at that in a minute. But he spiritually leads his family to know the person and ways of the Lord. And this is an important statement too. He's always focused. One of the things that we should always be focused on in teaching our children, moms and dads, is that we relate the scripture to Christ-likeness. We're wanting to teach our sons and daughters to be like Christ. And by like Christ, I mean loving, responding in a good way to wrong treatment. If they get beat up, I know you want to say, well, go beat them up. I think the better way is to go talk to the parents and hopefully deal with the child. But the point is, we're teaching Christ-likeness. We're teaching a gentle response. When Jesus was cursed, what did he do? Did he curse back? No. We're teaching our children to, what would Christ do? Would Christ help this person? What would Christ do? And we need to be always relating to our children in our talks with them in the Bible. How do we relate this to our relationship with your relationship with the world and Christ-likeness? But a dad leads his family to know the person and the ways of the Lord. Secondly, he leads his family in faithfulness of prayers. Could we turn the lights down just a little bit, Jeff, please? He teaches his children the faithfulness that God hears their prayers. And he's concerned. Do you teach your children, and I think most of you dads do, I hope you do, that you teach your children that God is a personal God. God is a personal God that's involved with your life. God is with you, and he cares about even the Little League game. Did you hear that? He cares about your response and your life involved with your friends. And he leads his family in faithfulness of prayers, teaching them God's concern. And I put this picture in here because I think that he has personal involvement. He's concerned with involvement in their prayers. And then I ran into this picture and I thought, there are moments, every one of us with our children will have a moment, a window, to teach them something about God. And we as dads and moms, we need to look for those windows, those opportunistic moments. I mentioned last week one time my car radio wasn't working. And I was trying all this stuff and playing with it. And my daughter, Charity, she had that God moment teaching me. She said, Dad, we ought to pray. And of course, you know me, I'm thinking, what does prayer have to do with this? But it had everything to do with it. So we stopped, we prayed, and the radio, it worked. And I'm saying to you that there are moments to teach our children a proper response to what would be an opportunity to teach them about God. And we need to be looking for those moments. And remember that you are trying to teach them that the Lord is our life. He is our life. Everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, the Lord, we're to do it all for the Lord's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, I believe. Whatever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we need to be teaching our kids that the Lord is our life and he's our love. Now, I ran into this guy that says, I'm not going to church because that's where all the hypocrites are. How many of you have ever heard that statement? Every hand would go up. I knew that. That's where all the hypocrites are. And I must admit, he's probably right, or she's right. But it's like this, not going to the gym because that's where all the out-of-shape people are. Don't go to the gym then either. You know, really, we can use whatever excuses, and we all have excuses. But I don't know why I put that one in there, but maybe there's a dad that says, you know, that's where all the, I don't know. But a spiritual dad next leads his family to church. That's one of your blanks. This is rather, because the Lord Jesus is worthy of unquestionable loyalty to his lordship. If Jesus is not Lord of your Sundays, what is he Lord of? And of course, we know he should be Lord of everything. But we need to be teaching our children. Is there a question about church? My kids used to say that they went, back then, my kids growing up, I know this seems ridiculous, but they went Sunday morning to Sunday school, to church, to Sunday night, and Wednesday night prayer meeting. Was there a children's church? There was no children's church. They were left to sit there quietly by their mother. That's the way it was in the old days. So how many of you grew up like that? Anybody? There wasn't any kids' church. The kids just sat there. I can remember there were other kids there, and they were crawling under the pews, and my kids had to sit there like three little angels, you know. But they never questioned if they were going to church. There was never a question. Are we going tonight, Mom? Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. There was never a question. You were going. And it was because there was a greater commitment of the family to the church back then. And I know we've lost that, but there's still a need if you want to, again, raise, I think, in a loyalty to Christ, he needs to be the Lord of your life and your Sundays especially. Dad, lead your children to serve the Lord because he is our love. That's another blank. I found that picture. I thought that was really cool. Lead your children to serve the Lord because he is your love. And you say, well, I'm a mother here. My husband's not with me. These things are true for you too, Mom. They're true for all of us as parents. We need to teach our children and lead them, not just teach them verbally, but lead them to serve the Lord, like Rick and Isabella this morning. Because we love him. Next, I found this picture. Whoop. Okay. There's Brian. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, church is not just about coming in here Sundays. Church is about our involvement with our families and our children in many aspects of worship and service. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I think we need to be involved with our children in serving the Lord. I think every dad and mom should be involved in leading their children to serve, even alongside of them. I like that picture. And then I like this one. Lead them to serve like the Lord Jesus with the least of these precious children. We need to teach our children to serve the least of people, whether you go down to the soup kitchen, up to the rescue mission. Teach your children that God loves all people. Or maybe your next door neighbor who's a widow. Teach your children that the Lord loves and these need serve too. And so teach them. Lead them, in fact. Lead them to serve the least of the people in this world. And then lead them in fun times at home. Lead them in fun times at home. This is a real picture. Dads that go crazy with their kids with video games. You know, and I have some funny pictures coming up here. But have fun with your kids. Have fun. If you have any hair, let your hair down. Let your hair down and crawl on the floor with them, but have fun. Lead them in fun times. Be a kid. Have fun. I found this guy really funny. The world's best dad. The cup says the world's best dad. Anybody grow up like this? Anybody with a crazy dad? We probably all grew up with mean dads, right? Strict dads. But a crazy dad that just had fun. Kids like to have fun. And dad, it's an important role. I like that picture. Ballet for dummies. Have fun with your kids. Now, you say, Pastor, what in the world does this have to do with being a good dad? I don't have any idea. But it's an important thing that dads are involved. Dads are involved with fun things, not just spiritual things, although that should be, to me, the preeminent thing, but fun things with their kids. Spend time with them, Dad, on their level, all right? And then this is a blank. Teach them you value them by involving yourself in their interests. And I think that probably most parents today do. Our parents didn't do that as much. But most parents today, if their kid has something, they're at it. It's somewhat of an interest. In the homes that have a man and a woman, they are very much involved. The homes that don't have, that often are fatherless, is the hard situations, where you have a fatherless home, and kids need a dad. But involve yourself in their interest, teaching them life skills. I can see many dads doing this, teaching them, boy, the things that you've taught your grandsons about lawnmowers and things. Well, the one it did. Maybe not to Dave, but he learned from his mother how to cook, didn't he? That's funny. But teaching them life skills. I didn't have a lot of that with my. I just didn't get that a lot. But it's a good thing to be out in the garage with your dad tinkering, if you're a dad that tinkers. And then I was reminded of the Visa commercial. Times like these are priceless to making memories and bonding with kids. You know, one of the nicest memories I had with my dad was we went to a Pittsburgh Pirate Mets game at the end of the season, the last game that determined if they went into the playoffs, the Pirates. And the Pirates won and went into the playoffs. And my dad and I were there together. And I can remember where we sat. I can remember so much about that experience. And some of you know what I'm talking about. These things are priceless. And whether it's fishing or hunting or going to a ball game, bonding with your kids is invaluable and just very important. And then I want to talk about counsel. Sitting down to counsel your children. And I said about counseling about life's betterment in a baseball glove. You know, you can counsel them about playing baseball. You can counsel them about many things. I just put a few up here about life's values. What are important values? Okay? As a dad, teaching your child good values, like not smoking. That's a smart value. Or not if you have some friends that are sneaking around and they're smoking, don't go with them. Stay away. But life values. How about family loyalty? How many of you had family loyalty? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but family loyalty before friend loyalty. That's an important value, by the way, that you are loyal to your family before your friends. How important is that to a teenager, huh? Think about that. I'm telling you, that is critical. And you're sitting down and you're counseling your child and talking to him and trying to impart into their hearts wisdom. What about friendships, temptations? But friendships, you know, not all their friends have your values. You know that, right? Do you know that? You think they do? I can tell you right now, they don't. And your son or your daughter sometimes doesn't really live out your values that you've tried to instill within them. But controlling their friendships, this is a big issue of their friendships. And Proverbs 1, and I could go on and on, but I won't. But temptation pitfalls. Smoking is a big temptation pitfall to a kid. Smoking dope. That's in junior high school, maybe in elementary, I don't know. Lying, temptation pitfalls. Lying is a big thing to teach to your children, to not lie. Counsel them, teach them. Grades. Parents, amen? Grades. Here, some of you kids are shaking your heads. But counseling, you know, it doesn't seem important to a child, their grades. But will it be important later in life? It is. Things can all of a sudden become important. And lastly, money. I think we need to teach our kids the wisdom of handling money. Say, what do you mean? The wisdom of learning to give God a tithe. You should teach your kids. My daughters, when they married, a couple had to teach their husband to tithe. Why? Because from childhood, we had always taught them to tithe, and their husbands grew up in homes where they didn't tithe. And yet, my kids insisted, we are going to tithe. The first tenth goes to the Lord. And we taught them the value of honoring God with money. And then we taught them to save money, to get a job and save money, and on. Just say, Pastor, you're stupid. Okay. Yeah, let's go on. Take the time to sit and give your teen counsel about life's entrapments. What about dating? Life's entrapments. Do you ever read Proverbs? Do you ever read Proverbs about the man, the writer of Proverbs, counseling his son to avoid immorality? I think you need to be teaching your children that life's greatest trap, especially for girls, is when a guy, and she goes out on a date, and she's innocent. And all of a sudden, this guy puts pressure on her. We need to be teaching our sons and our daughters, because sometimes it can be the girl that's the more aggressive. That's true. Sometimes girls are more aggressive than guys in dating. So counsel them about life's entrapments. I'm going to get more into that. And then this is an older father like me talking to his sons-in-laws about houses. But whatever it is, give counsel. Always be trying to communicate to your children life's lessons at whatever age they're in. Our counseling role is very important. So number one, a dad, have a God-focused leadership. Lead them in the Bible, teaching the Bible. Lead them in prayer. Be involved, mom and dad, be involved in teaching them together God's word and leading them to church. Have a God-focused leadership in your family. And secondly, have a family-focused leadership. Have a family-focused leadership. Not just, sometimes we can be too spiritual and not be more practical as dads. So have a family-focused leadership in your family. And then I want you always to remember the enemy. I don't think we think of him often enough in raising children. You know, every one of us have an enemy that wants to hurt us, that wants to attack your children, attack your heart, attack your marriage. Every one of us have an enemy that wants to deceive us and to take our hearts away from God. And that's what's going on in this whole society of America right now. He's blinded the minds of people, and they believe his lies. Jesus said the entire world lies in the control of the wicked one. Satan wants to destroy your marriage. How many of you think that Satan wants to destroy your marriage? I know he does. He is out to destroy your love. He's out to take your heart away from your wife. He is out to deceive you or discredit your testimony by lies of immoral happiness. And by that I mean immorality comes across when it first comes to us as something very wonderful. It always comes across as, isn't this exciting? She thinks you're good looking. I want you to know the only reason she thinks you're good looking is because she's a liar. No, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, where'd you get that from? I get it from the book of Proverbs. She flatters you with her mouth. Her lips are smoother than oil. She catches you with her eyelids. And she says, oh man, you hunk of love. Oh, stop it, stop it. That's not what we say though, is it? We fall for it like a bird headed for a trap, don't we? Oh man, it looks so good. It does. Oh, you'll be happy. You'll be happy with this woman. You'll be happy with this man. And I can never forget the experience of one good friend of mine that afterwards she just so regretted it and lost her entire family. Her children, who I saw that were following the Lord, no longer followed the Lord when their Christian mother fell into the lie. And I'm saying to you, this is Satan will attack your marriage, and he will attack your children. He is out there every day deceiving the minds of kids that are all around your children. Let me get to this. A strong man husband learns, number three, to love God. To love with God's love, excuse me. That's a blank. He is a strong man or husband learns to love with God's love. Now, there's a big world of difference between God's love and the world's love. You understand that? I mean, there is a universal difference between those two types of love. You must love the Lord more than yourself. A man, I like this statement, it's a blurry picture, but it says, a man who will lead you to God and not to sin is always worth the wait. You're dating and you found a man who will treat you with purity. He's worth the wait. He may not be the handsomest guy, but he's worth the wait. He may be handsome to you, I hope. But when you're dating, you must love the Lord with the love, you must love the Lord more than you lust for that girl. Did you hear that? You must love the Lord more than you lust for your date that you love, even. You must determine that you are going to love and honor the Lord in your dating relationship. And I just mean this. Never give in to the lie of adultery. So you've covered that one. How about pornography? Never give in to the lie of pornography. It is a lie from Satan that you can dabble with pornography and keep a pure heart. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. But never give in to this lie. And I'm talking about love. To love the ones you love with God's love. You understand what I just said? You're loving, number three, a strong man, a strong husband loves the ones he loves with God's love. Of course, Jesus said lusting in your heart is the same, or at least the beginning, the going towards immorality. Or you've committed adultery with them in your heart. Love your wife unselfishly. Let's get to this one under loving those with a strong man loves his wife unselfishly. And I'm going to give you some nice pictures that help me with this. Dads, men, love your wife sacrificially. What do you mean? And then I like Rob's, remember Rob's sermon on father? What was that? When was that? Oh, on the family, we did the series. And Rob said this statement, the greatest way to love your children is to love their mother. You believe that? It's true. And the greatest way to love their mother is to love the Lord. And the greatest way to love your children, then we would say, is to love the Lord and to love their mother. More than yourself? Wow. That's a lot of love, isn't it? Is it a lot of love that took the Jesus to die on the cross? Did that take a lot of love? The greatest love. The example of true love is Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And it says that, husbands, love your wives how? As Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And this is a picture of a couple washing their feet, each other's feet, with a servant's heart. I like this one too. Love her with a servant's heart. Men are not naturally loving. How many of you men would agree with that? How many of you are naturally, you just love to serve your wife in bed, breakfast, right? You just love to do that. It's not our nature to want to, we are usually selfish. You got that, huh, Susan? We are by nature self creatures. It takes so much of Jesus Christ to think of your wife sacrificially loving her. It is, maybe I'm speaking for myself. That's all I'm going to say there, but it's still true. Love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, I know that getting breakfast in bed maybe not what you want as a wife. Maybe it's painting the house, or I don't know what it would be, but whatever it would be, love her sacrificially. All right? Love her with Christ's love. Then let me get with this one. Oh, boy. Control parental fighting. I think that's a blank. Control parental fighting. Say, so why did you have to get to this? Because this really affects children. Because usually the kids are in the background somewhere listening. You know what I'm talking about? It is so important to control parental fighting. I think sometimes it leads to a child getting violently angry and striking out. It's just so important that we control our tempers in fighting and get off to the side or something. Don't fight. If you're going to fight, discuss. But keep in mind, kids are watching. And I've seen this. Teens withdraw. Kids will withdraw from the family. They'll just leave because they don't want to be in that. So it's just important that we, and I'm dealing with, again, I know I'm dealing with a lot of things here this morning, but let me go quickly. I love your sons and daughters. All of these verses talk about, let's just read one of them. And Proverbs chapter 3, and I've got to stop. I'll pick this up another time and close. But this is very practical things. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm talking about loving your sons and daughters with God's love. Verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father in whom he delights. Chapter 13 and verse 13. Let's turn there. The Lord corrects those he loves. A father is to correct his son because he loves them. Proverbs 13, verse 13. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Verse 24. He who spares his rod, what? Hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him early in life. It is so important that we oftentimes think, oh, I can't spank them. I might hurt their ego. Well, the Lord says, if you love them, you will spank them. That's what he says. Does God spank you? You say, well, not physically. Oh, yeah. I know he does. And all of these verses deal with loving your daughter and sons. If you love them, it doesn't say, if you hate them, you won't spank them. He who hates his son doesn't spank his son, but he who loves his son spanks them early in life to teach them to fear the commandment of the Lord. Now, I kind of like this sign. I am 14 years old. I snuck out of the house, took the car, and lied. This is part of my punishment. This is a teenage boy holding a sign up on the street. You think that taught that boy something? I don't know. It might have, I hope. But I realize you can't take a 14 or a 15 or 16 year old over your knee. You could. But I think this guy had the right idea to teach them wisdom. And when they do wrong, there is a consequence. Dads, the way you spell love to your sons and daughter is time. That's the way you spell it. Time with them. And love the prodigal. I mean, when they repent, be there for them. Now, I want to close with, this is really important to me. Love protects your daughters and sons from evil friends and sexual boys and girls. Start teaching your kids young about the wisdom of purity. Now, here's a dad with his little girl. Now, I realize you know what I'm talking. I'm not so stupid to think that you're going to teach that one-year-old or two-year-old or this. But can you teach them that God gave you your body? Sure you can. And you can teach them things about the importance of their lives. I like this next picture of a children idolize their fathers. Children idolize their dads. My kids, believe it or not, they loved me. That's hard to believe, I know. But they would love on me and jump up on my lap and hug and kiss me. But that's when you begin to teach them. Now, it's too late when they get to be a 16-year older, and you're trying to teach them right. You're trying to teach them, don't run around with those kids. Or you're trying to teach them, don't like that boyfriend with the nose ring or whatever it is. I don't know. It's too late when they're that old and they got purple hair. That girl has purple hair. You can't see that, but it's too late, Dad. That picture. Oh, my. Have the talk when they're in pre-adolescence. Talk to them about being pure. Boy, you got a lot to look forward to. You have children. Oh, my word. It's a horrible time. It really is. I'm dead serious. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not kidding you. It is a horrible time with kids when you're trying to get them through the teen years and they're dating and driving and, oh, my word, it's not, they're not all angels. At least mine weren't all angels. Oh, my word, some of you wanted to kick me out of the church, my kids. But do have the talk. That's serious. This is very serious in the pre-adolescent time. Remember Uncle Buck? Can you turn the lights down a little bit? You can't see Uncle Buck. Uncle Buck was dealing with his niece's boyfriend, Bug. Remember him? Anybody know who I'm talking about? John Candy? And Bug was her boyfriend, and he had his hands all over her and hugging, and Uncle Buck stood out there, and he waved his hatchet. And he was teaching Bug, you're in trouble. I kind of like that one, but rules for dating my daughter, number one, you can't. Yes, I do have a beautiful daughter, but I also have a gun, a shovel, and an alibi. Now, I'm going to an extreme here, I know. But it is just so important to teach your children to date rightly. Remember Kurt Schilling and the story that came up here? He congratulated his daughter, Gabby Schilling. She was 17 years old, graduated from high school, got a scholarship to Salve Regina Seahawks. I think it was a college. And he was congratulating her. And all of a sudden, these tweets came back to Kurt Schilling about his statement of the most evil, evil, evil things about what they wanted to do to his 17-year-old daughter. And Kurt Schilling decided that he was not going to put up with that. And he turned these guys over to exposing them who they were. And these were college students that got kicked out of college. There were people who worked for companies that lost their jobs and were fired for the evil things that they said. But this dad was going to protect the reputation of his daughter. And he successfully, I think, did. This was he and his daughter. And he said, this is about my daughter, the bottom sentence there. My 17-year-old daughter. Listen, your daughters are the most fragile, most beautiful, most precious thing that you have, and you need to protect them. Protect them from evil people. God is always looking for men and leaders, dads who have learned, who have learned to lean totally on the Lord, and dads who spiritually and by physical involvement lead their families for Christ's sake, and dads who with biblical love, love their families for Christ's sake. God's counting on you to plant in them the ways of God and the words of God and a love for God. And you just don't have anything more important to do, Dad. Did you hear that? Grandparents, we don't have anything more important to do. There is nothing in this life more important to do. They are the legacy of our brief life. We will die, and Lord willing, they will live on. And we need to pass that torch. Stay focused on the main task of building a godly family. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it for your honor and glory. I pray that you would challenge dads that are here to be the men and leaders and the lovers of their children, their wives, their children, that they would love you, Lord, more than themselves, that they would love their wives more than themselves, that they would love their children more than themselves. Lord, please help us to be men of strength and godliness for you and for your sake in our roles on this planet Earth. In Jesus, your name, please teach us. Amen. Let's